clear of the closing doors, please.
Welcome to Subway Sports Talk. My name is Peter Kennedy, and I am your host. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in to SST on Apple Podcast app, Spotify, and on YouTube. It's Friday. You know what that means. It means we got NFL picks for the last time of the regular season, the first time in 2024. Thanks for all the people who maybe faded, maybe tailed all of our picks to this point. Because if you did tail every single one of our picks to this point, I'm not a mathematician, but you'd either be slightly up or exactly even with the juice. Because right now we sit at 104-98-2 on the year. Proud of that number. We were a little bit higher a few weeks ago, but we had the week from hell 2 weeks ago on Christmas weekend. We're back. Good performance last week. Couple 2-1 sprinkled in. And now we're here ready to finish strong in week 18. Joining me as they do every single week, we got Pat Boyle, Cody O'Connor, and not Mark Shanlugan. So Patty B, I gotta vibe with you real quick in this new year. Me and you have to just vent about this Colts spread that we got stripped of last week when Pat and I had the family play Colts -3.5. They led the entire freaking game by more than 3.5, and the Raiders scored the most useless touchdown of the season, Pat, to ruin our Sunday. What the hell?
Yeah, they let me unzip this a little bit here. They were covering for 56 minutes in that game. And then the Raiders, greasy, right through the back door. Antonio Pierce, lock your back door. He's going to come right in there, and he's going to do dirty things to your entire family. So 43 seconds left, and they go 9 plays, 78 yards, when the Colts had just been dominating the entire game in total control. And there you go. That's, you know, right through the back door they go. And that's another tough loss, and I'm staring down the barrel, you know, as the caboose of the group here, 23-28. So week 18, it's the week from hell. The week of the unknown, half the teams aren't playing for anything, guys sitting out. So let's rock and roll. I'm going to have a nice mix here of games that don't matter, games that do matter, and it's time to put our money where our mouth is one final time before the playoffs.
I love it. I love the energy out of you because you have a bit more of a energetic feel than I felt looking at these lines on week 18. And Cody O'Connor, how do you feel about these lines on week 18 as you sit tied for first in our little picks contest?
I feel good about them. Then I felt bad about them. Now I feel okay about them. And going into last week, I think I said we got too confident that week before. At least I felt too confident in some picks that did not fall. Last week was more of the leans, 2-1, right back in our wheelhouse, right where we needed to be. And I didn't have the bad beat you guys did with the Colts, but I got a bit of a gripe with the Dallas Cowboys, who let the Lions march down to 90 seconds with little to no resistance on the defensive side of the ball, and really should have lost that game altogether at that point when the spread got thrown out the window. I just wanted them to lose at that point. They deserved to. But take the 2-1, move forward, and try and dissect this crazy weirdness. And like you said, who's playing, who's not, who matters, who doesn't, what does it matter for you? We're going to find out and try and get some good ones for the final week of the regular season.
Yeah, that was the big controversy of the week last week with that whole 2-point conversion and the, you know, who reported as eligible, who didn't. Whole wonky situation that most people were on the side of the Lions, and then some people made some good points. It's like, yeah, well, why was this lineman running over here and that guy over there? It was just weird. It was weird. And then they were like, you know what? Screw it. Now we got 8 yards to go to win this game. We're still doing it. Screw overtime. It's like, no, Detroit, you kind of still have something to play for here. But I guess we digress as Dan Campbell just full sent it for no reason, just because he was pissed. Honestly, he was just mad. He's like, no, I'm doing it anyway. And they didn't get it. They lose the game when they very much still had something to play for to try to get that best seed possible as the Lions need it to the home field advantage. I'm already on to hoop season. Home field advantage is huge for the Lions as much as any other team in this league. So, yeah, Patty.
I was just going to say, you know, it was obviously one of the worst calls you could ever make, especially when Dan Campbell says that I told the refs to a T exactly what was going to happen before the game. Taylor Decker, 68, walks right over to Brad Allen, who looks like the goddamn ventriloquist dummy from, what was it, Mad TV? Just an absolute fucking beta nerd, tells him exactly what was discussed, and then he calls Dan Skipper, the other lineman, for the one that reported. To me, the biggest takeaway is what does Roger Goodell and the NFL tell you is that Brad Allen and this crew get another game on Saturday, Steelers-Ravens, which is not entirely meaningless. The Steelers have a chance to make the playoffs. What does that tell you what they think of the integrity of the game? Oh, wow, this guy just totally botched this call and botched the entire game and potentially the entire playoff seeding scenario. Oh, let's give him another game next week.
Mm. Yeah, that's exactly what they said. And they do that. They do that all the time with these referees. It's like, oh, this guy needs to, like, get a hiatus. Nope, let's put him on the primetime game. Like, that's just what happens all the time in all sports. Even, like, you know, MLB umpires, they get it, I feel like, the worst. It's like, this guy's terrible. Let him lay low for a little while. And then all of a sudden, he's got home plate on a primetime game. It's like, oh, no, can't be good. But what are you going to do? And the Cowboys now with a chance to win the division, depending on what happens in those two games, which, you know, one thing to say about this week, this slate of week 18, it is important to see when the games are played. I think even more so than normal, right? Because, you know, if the Cowboys were playing at 1 o'clock and the Eagles were playing at 4 o'clock, it would make a big difference on how hard the Eagles would try if they already know the outcome of the Cowboys game. So a lot of these games, you have to kind of pay attention on when they're happening with the tie breaks and all this crap. You got to pay attention to a lot of stuff, which puts us at a disadvantage picking these games on Thursday night. It's around 10:20 p.m. Thursday night, about who's going to play, which quarterbacks are sitting out, who's got something to play for, who's just trying to jockey for seeding, who's trying to make the playoffs. It's a whole lot of moving parts, which is why I always like to say on week 18, it's important for you guys out there. And you know us, the three of us, we can say this proudly. We like to gamble. We do it all the time. I'm sure that all three of us have multiple same game parlays and straight bets and parlays from the two NBA games that are on Thursday night, right? So it's obvious that we like to gamble. And I'm sure you guys do too, but just be like a little bit smart here on week 18. Don't blow your load on games that don't matter. Just because you might end up watching it, just hating yourself. Save some money for wildcard weekend where everything matters and you get to take a really good look at this team, but you know, throw some shekels. Why don't you? It's okay. I'm not telling you not to bet. I'm just saying, don't be stupid in week 18. For us though, it doesn't matter. They all equal the same on this podcast. A win's a win. A loss is a loss. A push is a push. And before we get to our first pick, I do have a trivia question for you guys. And the trivia question goes as such. Which teams, there's two teams tied right now. Which two teams are tied for the best against the spread record across the NFL right now?
I'm going to say Ravens and 49ers.
Okay, and Cody?
San Fran and Dallas.
Pat Boyle wins with the Ravens, who are tied with the Detroit Lions at 11-5 against the spread this year, meaning which, if you've bet them every single week, you are at a 68% clip just betting that team straight up, which is obviously something that I don't think anyone does outside of maybe a fan of the team. But 11-5 against the spread for Baltimore and Detroit, followed up by Cleveland at 10-5-1, Tampa Bay and Miami at 10-6. Now, on the flip side, remember, it's spread record, so it's not just the worst teams in the league, but maybe it is. Who's to say? Who has the worst record against the spread across the NFL?
Carolina's got to be one of them.
I'm going to say the Chiefs are up there.
Ooh, good one.
It is Carolina. So you guys push, and I'll give you guys a tiebreaker now, but it's Carolina 4-10-2. Not only were they terrible this year, but they lost all their spreads. And even the ones that were close, they pushed on two spreads, which is just insane. All right, final question. This is a tiebreak, and there's really no reason that you should know it. But there are three teams who are exactly 500 against the spread at this point in time. I'm sorry. There are four teams who are exactly 500 against the spread right now. If you could name just one of them, you win this contest, which means nothing.
It's got to be the New York Football Giants.
I was going to say the Giants, so I will pivot and go with the Buffalo Bills.
Can I give one more answer?
Sure. Actually, you know what? You're both wrong, so keep naming teams one at a time until you get one right.
The Steelers were my next one.
I'm going to go Arizona Cardinals.
There you go. Ding, ding, ding. 8-8 Arizona Cardinals against the spread. Patty Boyle wins the contest. That means nothing. Maybe we'll give you a push on your record for good measure. The Giants, just for good measure, though, 7-8-1 against the spread. Buffalo 6-10 against the spread are the Buffalo Bills. And Pittsburgh 9-7 against the spread. So for all the ups and downs of them feeling like a terrible team to bet on this year because you never knew which Steelers you're going to get, 9-7 against the spread with a game that matters. All right. that's trivia for today. Let's talk about our week 18 slate. Do we have a volunteer for who wants to go first? Patty B, put up the marker.
Pete, it's funny that you said, you know, don't be stupid and bet on games that don't matter, because funny you say that. Pick number one for me is the New England Patriots.
I didn't say don't bet. I said don't bet too much. Don't bet too much. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, look, I mean, it's 15 in a row, 15 straight games that the Patriots have won, dating all the way back to 2015 when the Jets beat them Christmas weekend in overtime. And since then, Bill Belichick has absolutely destroyed, dominated, and, cucked the Jets into submission here. So what's going to change here? What's going to change? The Jets seem like they have given up on the season, especially after getting destroyed by Cleveland. And what has been the feel with New England and Bailey Zappi? They were 2-10. The season was over. And since then, in their last four games, beat Pittsburgh on the road on Thursday night, hung tough kind of with the Chiefs. I mean, they lost by 10. They didn't get blown out of the building. Beat Denver on Christmas Eve night and hung tough with the Buffalo Bills, losing only by 6, a game in which they turned it over 4 times in the first 20 minutes of the game. So this team is playing for Bill, whether it's his last game or not. I'll let you be the judge of that. But I know that the Jets defense right now is really, you can't handicap them with the same confidence as you could 4 or 5 weeks ago. They give up 30 to the Dolphins. They give up 28 to the Commanders, a game in which they were winning by 20 points. And then Jacoby Brissett came in and lit them on fire. And Joe Flacco, yes, Joe Flacco is elite, but they gave up 37 to the Browns on Thursday night. So what does that tell you? This defense, not a whole lot to play for. Robert Saleh's already coming back. This game literally means nothing for the Jets. And for the Patriots, if you do think that this is Bill's last game, you think he wants to go out on top, he wants to stick it to the Jets one more time. Zappi has played pretty well. In terms of the injury report for the Jets, I know it is going to be Simeon. Other than that, most of the offense is pretty healthy, but what confidence does that give you? For New England, Devontae Parker questionable, Hunter Henry questionable, and left tackle Trent Brown questionable, plus a couple guys on the defensive side. But look, honestly, you could throw out Nathan Rourke, their third-string quarterback in this game against the Jets, and I would still pick the New England Patriots. Plus, it is going to be the Snow Bowl, as a lot of us are getting hit with big-time snow on Sunday in the Northeast. New England is supposed to get 3 to 5 inches. It's supposed to start in the morning. It's going to be 36 degrees, heavy wind. So an ugly game like this, I think it even favors New England even more. Bill will find a way to get points on the board, and the Jets will find a way to lose this game, because that is what they have done for the better part of 3 years under Robert Saleh. They have found ways to lose games, and over the last decade, they have found ways to lose to the New England Patriots one way or another. So meaningless game, you think? For New England, I think this is one last chance, if it is Bill's last game, to blow out the Jets. I might even take them on an alternate spread here. Maybe if you could bet the Jets team total under, what it would be, 13 points. I like that, but I'm mostly confident in the spread here. Give me New England -2.
On top of all the stuff with the Week 18, which games matter, which games don't, we got snow coming into the Northeast. It's hysterical. You kind of can't make it up. We haven't had snowfall in New York, and I believe was there not one snowfall in New York for last year at all, right?
Nothing, so now nothing of significance.
It's been 2 years since there's been snow in New York. Obviously, there's probably been snow up north, but still, it's just funny. And that game's in New England. And Cody, I know you're ready to go second, but it's the new year. It's the same Pete and Pat riding on pick number one. We're going with the New England Patriots -2. And I'll say this, Pat, even if it's not the right angle to say that Bill Belichick wants to go out on top, let's just say this. If he is leaving, he wants to go out by sticking it to the Patriots and ruining their draft pick just a little bit more with that dub. Also, if you look at these two teams, who's been playing better football over recent weeks? The Patriots have been playing far more competitive football over the past couple weeks. What's hysterical, though, is if you look at the makeup of these two teams, you look at yards per play, a stat that I look at a lot. Guess who's ranked 29th and 30th in offensive yards per play? The Patriots are 29th. The Jets are 30th. Guess who's ranked 3rd and 4th in yards per play on defense, which is a good thing? The Jets are 3rd. The Patriots are 4th. These are the same freaking teams, except one team has had a little bit momentum lately, and one team has really just kind of been falling on its face lately. The Patriots were horrible early. The Jets were frisky early. Patriots are frisky lately. I'm riding that wave. I think Bill Belichick does the thing that he always does, which is coach to the best of his ability, trying to win every football game in front of his face. And that's what he'll do on Sunday. Snow, wind, rain, it don't matter. Bill's beating the Jets. It's the one thing in life that's a guarantee. And obviously, with that being said, I have one last point. Right now, on pregame.com, you look at the spread of cash on this game, and you have a nice little thing here where 54% of the tickets are on the Patriots with 72% of the cash. So all the sharp money coming in on the Patriots. That line opened at 1.5. It's at 2.5 in some spots now. We find it at number 2. And I like the Pats with the movement of the spread to win this game by at least a field goal and take care of business. That's my first pick.
Can't make it a 3-for-3. Staying away from the game entirely. I like the side. I like the reasoning. I like the points. Who knows? Comes time for the pool. Comes time for my own bets. Maybe the Patriots sneak their way in. But I've got all three of my picks going to involve two legs, which I've kind of tried to stay away from of late. It's kind of something I did early on in the year to some success. I don't know. There's a lot of weirdness going on this week, and I just felt a little more comfortable buying some spots up. So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to start with the first game on Saturday. It's the Ravens. They're playing the Steelers. Steelers have everything to play for. The Ravens have already said they're sitting Lamar Jackson. They aren't playing him. Tyler Huntley, Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley, is going to step in as the Ravens' very capable backup. And that's the side I'm going to back. I'm going to buy the Ravens up to 8.5 this week. They always, doesn't matter who's on the field. You talk about Bill Belichick and his record with the Jets, and if you want, you could throw out the record books. Well, you could throw out the record books for the Ravens and the Steelers. It's down and dirty football. And when the Steelers have a playoff chance on the line, I don't care who goes out for the Ravens, that team is going to try to knock them out of the playoffs to keep them out and to keep that rivalry going. So I think this is another classic low-scoring divisional type of game. Again, everything on the line for the Steelers. We're starting Mason Rudolph, who has won back-to-back games. I got the Steelers to make the playoffs, and I know I need them to win this week. I got my own little sandwich created, some emotional hedge, if you will, but I just think that's a close game, and I'd rather take the Steelers or the Ravens up than the Steelers on the money line. That's what I'm telling you with pick one there. And part two of this is another potential emotional hedge sandwich for me, but I absolutely love the Tennessee Titans in this spot. Mike Vrabel against the Jaguars. Again, Jags team that needs to win the division. They can still make the playoffs with a little bit of help, but they obviously control their own destiny, want the home field advantage with a win this week. Trevor Lawrence is going to be back, and it just feels like all too perfect of a spot for the Titans to come in and wreck their dreams. It just feels like Vrabel's going to, just bolster his guys up. One last hurrah. Everything that the Titans have is coming out this week. Again, I don't need them to win. I'm buying them up to 10.5 to be comfortable, to be safe, but I am very worried about my Jags to win the South future, because I think that Vrabel and the Titans are giving them everything that they can handle this week. What the Jags did well last week was defensively. They were able to completely stop the Panthers, which, saying much, I don't know, but they did shut them out, and they were able to just kind of maintain drives, control possession, and win that game. It's not that type of game in this week. I think they're going to have to be good, and Trevor Lawrence is going to have to be good. So you have to hope that he's healthy. I don't know if he is. So again, I'm going to buy the Titans up in that spot to 10.5, parlaying it with the Ravens plus 8.5, and that's -118.
Yeah, Cody, Mike Vrabel and the Titans, you know how I feel about them. You'll see a pick similar to that later on in this episode. For now, I want to go to the games that have big-time meaning here. One on Saturday, the primetime game, Texans-Colts, which I think has the possibility to be an absolute slobber knocker of a game, a cracker of a game, whatever metaphor, old English language you want to use. I think that game could be tremendous. I'm honestly probably going to take a lean on the over 47.5 with how the Colts, I feel like they get into 28, 27 games every single week. But in terms of a side here, I like the Colts to not lose by more than a touchdown for the first leg. So give me the Colts plus 7.5. And the second leg, I'm trusting the team that needs to win to make the playoffs. The NFC South crown once again on the line. The Buccaneers didn't get it done last week. Now they go on the road to Carolina, who you just mentioned against the Jaguars, 26-0. They had a chance to play spoiler last week against C.J. Beathard, and they get blanked 26-0. And now I'm supposed to believe that Tampa Bay, after already failing once to wrap up the division, they get a second chance against this dog shit team. I am taking Tampa Bay. I'm taking Baker Mayfield, who has had a renaissance year, who has looked very good, and this Buccaneers defense, which for the most part has been exceptional for the last 5 weeks here. So Colts plus 7.5, Buccaneers money line, that's minus 123. You know, with the Texans, I feel like the bloom has kind of come off the rose from 2 months ago when everybody was talking about C.J. Stroud for possible MVP. Now, I know he got hurt, obviously, but even in the game back against Tennessee on Sunday, I mean, he wasn't great. I mean, the Titans, again, Levis got hurt. The Texans defense won them that game. It was ugly from the start. But it's more so, I really don't think that C.J. Stroud has gotten to the point where he garners confidence that you think he can go on the road and win basically a playoff game here. Especially when you consider the fact that the Colts have won 4 out of their last 5 at home since they lost their first 2 home games. They beat Tennessee. I am not looking at the right part of the schedule. They've won 4 out of their last 5 at home. Yeah, they beat Tennessee, and then the other ones, they've won 3 in a row at home. Beat Tampa Bay, beat Pittsburgh, beat the Raiders. So I think they've kind of turned home field advantage into a real thing here. The offense is healthy. We know how dangerous they can be with Michael Pittman back. I still have questions about this Houston secondary, which is about as healthy as they've been all year. I just think that the Colts can move the ball effectively. Jonathan Taylor looks like he's as healthy as he's been all year. So I think they have a good balance to this game. I think they keep it close. They've got the crowd behind them. I think there's a lot of pressure on C.J. Stroud. And I think you see a classic Colts defense. It doesn't have Shaq Leonard anymore. It doesn't have a feared top 5 defense. But I think they get a turnover, maybe 2. I think they win this game. But again, I will take the cushion of the Colts. I'm pretty superior confident that they're not losing this by more than 7. So Colts plus 7.5. And then, I mean, I don't really need to explain Bucks money line. If the Panthers go out and ruin this, if Baker Mayfield turns into a pumpkin, so be it. So Bucks money line, Colts plus 7.5, minus 123.
All right. I'm feeling a little nervous over here, honestly, because I don't know how to feel about so many of these freaking games. Can I ask you guys a question before I get to my next pick? The Saints and the Falcons are playing each other. Is there a more abysmal, important game that exists in the NFL? Like, the two teams that, like, if you caught them on the right week, it's like, wow, this team's got some playoff juice. They can do some things. Then if you caught them on the other team, other week, it's like, they are one of the worst teams in the league. And they're both sitting here with a chance to go in. Obviously, the Saints' chance to go in is higher than the Falcons. Falcons not eliminated just yet. They need a lot to go down for them to make it into the playoffs. But they are technically in range here for a playoff game. What? I don't think either of you guys have those that game on your docket, right? Pat, you don't. Cody, you don't either, I assume. Oh. All right, so maybe I don't even want to ask this question yet. I'm just saying, like, all conventional wisdom would lead you to say the Saints are playing better, the Falcons are falling apart, ride the Saints, don't go with the Falcons. You're also in New Orleans. They're the favorite for a reason. But, like, can you even trust either of these sides? I don't know. Like, is it stupid to go with a game that matters where you know both teams are trying to win just because it's a game that matters where both teams are trying to win? Or a game where both teams don't particularly care. And that's what I'm kind of juggling here with this second pick. And I just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts. So, Cody, if you have that game in one of your picks, feel free to knock it out now.
All right. I guess I can do a twofer. But I think my answer to that question is the trust that I have in this pick and in this game in particular is the weirdness of the NFC South to finish in like outstanding fashion, because it's been so back and forth to the point where I'm almost embarrassed to say that I have this, but this is what I did, was take the Saints preseason to win the division. And at about week 12, 13, somewhere around there, I got so nervous that I almost straight line hedged it with the Atlanta Falcons. And so I'm at a point where the Bucs are just going to come in, steal the division, and I'm going to end up losing all of it. But I ended up, and it's funny because the first part of my pick is going to be the Lions money line. So I'll do my pick now.
Okay.
And it's the Lions money line. And I was in the beginning of the day, I had the Bucs money line there. Part of it was that emotional hedge, like I kept saying, and I was like, all right, I don't want to root for the Bucs though. I just don't want to have to do that. Like, I might as well try to go. But it's just been such a weird year in that NFC South. One that I said before the season, Pete, on this podcast with you, I said I think the winner is going to be under 500 or at 500. If I could take that as a bet instead of an actual team, I might take that. But I didn't take the Bucs because of all this weirdness I'm talking about. So I went Lions money line. For a couple reasons. One, the way that they lost last week, I think Dan Campbell's the type of guy to take that to heart and to be pissed off about it and to rally the troops around that. And whether they're going to start Jared Goff and the whole offense, it looks that way to this point. What I wouldn't be surprised to see is like a quarter or like a half played similar to a preseason game. But I also don't think the Vikings are any good. I don't think that their quarterback situation, whoever they start, I think it's still going to be Duran, right? I don't think it's Mullins.
I think it's Mullins.
It is Mullins back. So that actually makes me a little more worried. But I just think the Vikings juice seems like it's gone. In the words of Happy Gilmore, they're not any good. And so that's why I'm taking the Lions money line. And then the second leg, I'm deciding to buy the Falcons up to 11.5. So not with a ton of confidence, but we've talked about how we don't think some of these teams can blow out the other. I don't think there's any blowout. I think this is like, whatever way it is, it's one score, and hopefully it does matter as the Panthers and the Bucs are playing, at least for me. But I think the Falcons at least cover. I could see them winning. I think the scenarios they win and the Bucs lose, as simple as that, and they win the division, right? I think it's that.
If Atlanta wins and the Bucs lose, the Falcons win the division. So I think that is correct.
They and the Saints have everything to play for. I lean towards the Saints winning, but again, rather than take the Saints money line, I'm showing my hand by saying I'm taking the Falcons up, and I feel a little bit more comfortable with their side. So after all that, my pick is Lions money line, Falcons plus 11.5, and that's minus 109.
Okay. That like answers my question without answering the question in a way. It's like, yeah, no, I don't trust either of these teams. I just expect it to be stupid and close for no reason, even if it's like a horrible football game.
That's exactly so, right.
Yeah, yeah. And I obviously, I don't know if you guys remember, but I have the Saints over, which they're not going to hit. It was 9.5 for the year, which they easily should have ran to, because if they win this week, they're at 9. And they lost a load of stupid games, none worse than the Packers 17-point fourth quarter comeback in week 3. They lost some bad ones throughout. They lost to the Falcons earlier in the year, 24-15 at Atlanta. Now they're home against Atlanta. And it feels like that's a split, right? It feels like those games are a split, but you can't just like say that blindly because these teams are both so stupid. So for that, I'm just going to say I'm out for now, and I'm going to go a completely different direction with my second pick. And I may revisit that with pick number 3. I'm going to go with a game that doesn't really matter. Go the game that both quarterbacks are going to be rested here. And I'm taking the San Francisco 49ers minus 4. And there's a reason why I'm doing that. Might sound stupid. They have even less to play for than the Rams. And well, the Rams are also clinched in a playoff spot. You know, you can argue that they're fighting for seeding, but you know, they don't know who the 2 or 3 seed is. So you can't really make a huge difference of being a 6 or a 7, right? So what's the difference? Stafford sitting, Purdy sitting. Right now, the report is that some of the stars for the offense of the Niners are going to play, but only going to play a little bit. But here's where I am leaning towards the San Francisco 49ers. Deep down, I have this guttural feeling that Kyle Shanahan really wants Sam Darnold to be good, that he really likes Sammy D. He wants him to show up and show out. You can see it in that game where Purdy got hurt. Like, Kyle wanted Sam to go in there and show up and put up numbers and win that freaking game, make the complete comeback. He wanted Sam to do it. Cause you know what Kyle Shanahan wants more than a Brock Purdy MVP conversation? You know what Kyle Shanahan wants more than anything about anybody else? It's that he is the man and that his system trumps all and that his quarterback doesn't even freaking matter. Cause no matter who he runs out there, he's running to the NFC championship game. And I think he liked Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold has grown a little bit. That man is still very young. He showed some things in that little spot performance there when Purdy got injured. And I think Sam Darnold's going to show out against the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams are also sitting Stafford. Carson Wentz is playing football for the first time in a long time. That's kind of interesting. It's a 4-point spread, and you would say, oh, quarterback is out for the Rams. Quarterback's out for the Niners. Probably going to be a 2.5 throwaway. Who the hell knows what's going to happen in this game? No, I think I know what's going to happen in this game. Niners are going to run. They're going to out-scheme. Sam Darnold's going to play great, and you're going to have this weird feeling that, like, wow, is Brock Purdy even good? Is Sam Darnold just as good as him? Can he do the things? And we're going to have these stupid conversations about Sam Darnold. When it comes down to it, it's Kyle Shanahan, his system, that offense being really freaking good. And one thing the Niners just do is they play freaking hard. And the Rams have played hard too. But again, they don't have much to play for either here. And this spread being at -4, it's speaking to me. It's one of those lines that just says it shouldn't be that high in a game where we're going to see a lot of backups that doesn't matter. Yet it went from -3 up to -4. And that's telling me everything I need to know. Sam Darnold shows out in week 18. Last thing, 71% of the tickets on the Rams. It's a good chunk of tickets right there. 55% of the cash on the Rams. So a lot of that money coming in on the big favorites, well, not big favorites, the 4-point favorite 49ers. And I'm just going to go there and take Sammy D to the bank in week 18.
Pete, if I'm not mistaken, I saw McCaffrey's out, but I do think Kyron Williams and Cooper Kupp are also both out, which is obviously
correct.
Almost all of their weapons.
McVay sits everybody. I mean, they might roll out a backup kicker. I mean, they've had like 3 kickers this year anyway.
They're going to try everyone at kicker. Yeah,
they just lost one or dropped one, yep.
They might have Cooper Kupp just kick to see if someone could do it. They got no one.
Pete, I would honestly like chop that into a social media clip and tag Sam Darnold, because that's got to be the most love he's gotten all year from anybody.
Yo, Sammy D, bro. I ride for my guy, Sam D. I mean, I think he obviously has been pretty bad quarterback in his career for the most part, obviously, right? He hasn't done many good things, but I, for one, was somebody interested in seeing what he could do with Kyle Shanahan, and here we go. Here's the chance. And like you said, Cody, thank you for bringing up Kupp and Kyron Williams. Who do you trust more? Like the Elijah Mitchells of the world or whoever the backup for the Rams are? They were nothing without Kyron Williams and Cooper Kupp.
Can
in
I
fact,
tell
all
you,
these what's up?
Can I tell you who I trust the least?
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz, yeah.
Like every single week you watch the Rams and there's these stats that come out. It's like when they have Cooper Kupp and Kyron Williams, this is a different team. This team plays awesome when both of those guys are in the lineup. They ain't in the lineup. The only thing you can guarantee is that they're going to try to pepper Puka Nacua to try to get him the rookie record. That for sure is something that you want to look at on the prop market there. But I think the Niners just win this game and Sam Darnold throws like 4 touchdowns. I believe it.
You know who else rides for Sammy D? The Blinky, Inky, and Pinky, the ghost from Pac-Man, because that's all he's been seeing for most of his career. So that was a Blinky, Shen. Inky, that was a Mark Pinky. Shen joke. I know if he's listening, he would love that I just dropped that.
Blinky, Inky, and Pinky.
Yeah, there's one other one, but I remember it was Blinky, Inky, and Pinky, the three of the ghosts.
Stinky?
Stinky.
Stinky and Pinky, you don't know if you want that.
Stinky!
I think that's a whole different genre there.
Those are the names of my fingers.
Oh, God.
Pinky works. You got Pinky right here. Oh. Anyway, we'll get back to some more PG-rated entertainment here. Final pick for me, as much as I love Cody's, talking about the Tennessee Titans, I mean, I'm getting an extra point on him here, so this kind of feels pointless, but look, I'm going 2 legs, and the first leg is the Cowboys' money line. And if they happen to go on the road to the Washington Commanders, dead team walking, dead coach walking Ron Rivera, I know there was that comments from – was it 2 years ago where McCarthy guaranteed a win and Ron Rivera kind of was like, that's pretty stupid for you to do that. I really don't think there is much motivation out of that building at all whatsoever. New ownership is going to clean house. I don't think that there's really like some big preparation going on in Ron Rivera's office this week. Like, I want to ruin the Cowboys season. I want to ruin their chances of winning the NFC East. The Eagles gift wrapped it to them by losing to the Cardinals. I don't think the Cowboys, as again, they're a different team on the road than they are at home. This game is different. They absolutely obliterated them on Thanksgiving. I don't see how the Commanders secondary with all the issues they have. And here I am. I said I wasn't going to break the game down. And here I am. But this should be a blowout. This should be a blowout. And again, the Cowboys, they win the NFC East if they win it. The Commanders defense is in absolute shambles, right? And I think they're going back to Sam Howell here. So as many yards as he throws for, you know, Sam Howell is probably going to be good for 3 to 4 turnovers in this game. A Deron Bland pick 6 yet again. You could probably book that. So the Cowboys money line. And what does that do? That gives me a chance to give an extra point for the Tennessee Titans here. So instead of taking them at the actual spread of +3.5, I'm going to take them at +4.5. And you get -101 now. So you basically have no vig on this bet. You've got essentially a dead even spot here where if you trust the Cowboys to take care of business, you get an extra point with the Titans. So that's what I'm doing here. Some people might laugh at it, but I'm confident. And again, I mean, how many spreads have we seen hit, you know, hinge on a half a point this year? As far away as some spreads are, you know, all the blowouts we've seen, there's been a lot of games like we just lost on last week with the Colts, Pete. Whereas imagine if we had the Colts -2.5 versus -3.5. So who knows? It could come in play. But I'm going to take the Titans +4.5 with the Cowboys money line. That's -101. And Pete, you know I'm a guy that likes to die on his hills, and I'd like to thrive on some hills sometimes. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is very good. I don't think he's an elite quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback. I think he's banged up too. I think if he's going to play, he's playing through a sprained AC joint. He's playing through a probably not 100% ankle. You know, I would think he is more than fine with the head and the concussion and everything. But again, I think he's due for 1 to 2 turnovers in this game. And they're also not a team that has been very good on the road as of late. They started off 5-0, and the last two road games, they got blown out by Tampa Bay, and then they lost a game that they should have won against Cleveland. So I don't trust Jacksonville. I think they're a team that with the pressure on them right now, they're going to fold. And I think where I said the argument about Ron Rivera, probably not a game where he's like, oh, I can't wait to try to ruin the Cowboys season. I mean, they've already made the playoffs. I think this is a game where Vrabel, you know that what I think about Mike Vrabel as a head coach, he would love nothing more than to try to spoil the Jaguars season, because if they lose this game, they're not making the playoffs, most likely. He would love to nothing more than to spoil their season here and beat them and really just stick it to Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence. One final parting gift to the Jacksonville Jaguars this season. So I think the Titans keep this game close. Again, it's most likely going to be Tannehill. Will Levis does have a chance of playing, but just like I said a couple weeks ago when I took the Titans +3.5 against the Seahawks and they covered, you know, I'm fine with either quarterback, really. I think Tannehill, you get the game manager, you get probably less big plays, but you also get probably less turnover-worthy plays here. And this Titans defense, you know, again, I this is just the way that I feel. This is me dying or thriving on the hill that I've been on for the better part of this entire season. The way I feel about Vrabel, the way I feel about the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence. Cody, again, resonating on a lot of points you already gave here, especially because Tennessee lost by 20 on the road earlier this year to Jacksonville. I just think this is a game that will matter to Mike Vrabel. He'll find a way to get his guys riled up for this game. And I don't think Trevor Lawrence, with all the pressure in the season and the injuries, I don't think he's going to play a very good game, because I don't think he's an elite quarterback. So Cowboys money line, Titans +4.5. This one's got a little extra emotional meaning for me in this one at -101 odds.
And we are diabolically opposed on that front, because I'm a pro Trevor Lawrence guy. I'm a Jaguars over 9.5 better. I've been a Jaguars defender at many points this year, and I'm not going to pick him. I can't do it. I so desperately wanted to take the Jaguars somehow, some way. I don't like the line. I can't use their money line in something. It's just too stupid. And I'm not going to do it. I can still win money on them. I have them over 9.5 on the year. If they win, I can win that. So that's nice. We do like that. But yeah, I couldn't do it, Pat. So even though I wanted to just disagree with you and just take the Jaguars just to be a jerk, I can't do it. I cannot do it. So I'm not doing that. What I'm going to do instead is I'm going to take a game that matters. I'm going to bet on a game that we all care about, and it really does make a big difference for these two teams in particular, even though they're both locked into the playoffs already, and that's a great thing for both of these franchises. Actually, they're both not locked into the playoffs already. What am I kidding? The Bills have a chance to not make the playoffs, even though they're already at 10 wins. They do need some crazy stuff to happen. I think they need multiple teams with nine. They need the Texans. Wait, Texans and Colts are playing each other, right? So they need whatever team wins that game, right? Once somebody's winning that game, then they need the Steelers to win, and they need to lose to the Dolphins in order to not make the playoffs. This is everything for the Buffalo Bills. We saw them match up with the Dolphins earlier in the year, and they dominated the game. The Dolphins are still 11-5. They've been a very good team all year. The Bills are 10-6. Even though they've had some horrible games, they've been a very good team all year. And by a lot of the statistics, which I've mentioned all season long, the Bills still net out as one of the better teams in the NFL, which is why so many people are talking about them as one of these sleeping giants when it comes to playoff time. So they go into Miami, Sunday Night Football, final game of the regular season. What a time to be a sports fan. And I'm taking the Buffalo Bills straight up, -2.5 at the Miami Dolphins. Their matchup, stylistically, it just favors the Bills. The way they're playing right now, Josh Allen will be a lunatic on Sunday night, just being physical, taking every hit he has to take in order to will this team to victory. And right now, the Dolphins are showing some of their weaknesses, right? Some of their physicality or lack thereof is coming back to bite them a little bit. Some of these injuries are starting to pile up on the Dolphins right now. And if you look at the Dolphins who have clinched their playoff spot, who's more likely to take their foot off the gas? It ain't the Bills, because the Bills know that if the Steelers take care of business on Saturday night, they got to win that freaking game to make the playoffs. They know they have to do that. The writing is on the wall. So you look at the Bills, the way they match up, and if the Dolphins go down or Tyreek Hill has even the slightest tweak or Waddle, who's banged up and missed last week already, if he's not fully ready, they're not going to go full throttle because they just can't afford it. They have to be healthy when it comes to it next week. Both of these teams desperately want some home court, man. I'm already in hoop season. They desperately want some home field advantage. It's huge for both of those franchises to be home in the playoffs, but the Bills are going to win this game. James Cook and Josh Allen are going to run the ball the way that they can and the way that they have over the last handful of weeks to the nth degree. They're going to do everything that they possibly can to dominate in that facet of the game. So I think the Bills are the pick to make right here. It feels like it would be super obvious that, everyone's probably on the Bills. Not necessarily the case. 53% of the tickets on the Bills right now, 70% of the cash on the Buffalo Bills, all that sharp money. I'm going to follow it and take the Bills -2.5 as my final pick.
You might have just gotten a first out of me here. You just talked me out of taking Miami, which I initially had, not separate, because I told you I had three picks together. You made very convincing points. But the biggest thing for me, and I was even going to say this in my whole spiel, was I don't know about Jalen Waddle and Raheem Mostert's health. We know Bradley Chubb is out, which is very, very detrimental to their pass rush. But not knowing about Jalen Waddle here on Thursday night, not knowing about Raheem Mostert, the touchdown merchant, right? The guy who's got 20-plus scores for them, which has got to be the quietest 20-touchdown season I can remember. And you don't know about his health. Tua is playing, but you don't know exactly about his health. You know, Tyreek, like you said, they are home. I still do lean towards the Dolphins to cover. What was 3 is now down to 2.5. But I just took it off. I just took it off, and now I've got a standalone pick for you. So what I initially had was to buy the Dolphins up to 7.5, which I might do come Sunday night, something along those lines when the roster and who's active comes out. But we don't know that right now, and that's scary enough for me to just stay away and go straight up on the road against all odds, a team who has been dominated in this rivalry. They're in the NFC North, but they've been playing damn good football, and that's the Chicago Bears at +3 in Lambeau. Historically, this is an awful pick. Week 1 or 2, Jordan Love went and beat the hell out of the Bears. That was a very different Bears team, and I think this is a bit of a different Packers team. Oh, and the clock just struck midnight there on Le Fleur. It's no longer December, Maddie. It's January, and the record doesn't stand in January. It's your December record that scares the rest of the league, but it doesn't scare me in January. The Bears have been playing great football, man. Justin Fields has played himself into what looks like the Bears not taking a quarterback now and maybe sliding down and trading that pick for more assets and maybe getting Marvin Harrison, another weapon for him. And Justin Fields has played good enough to be able to do that over these last couple weeks. So I don't know why that's just going to stop. 3 points tells you that this is a pick 'em in a neutral site. So in Lambeau, the Bears get the 3, but they've just been playing better. The Packers squeaked past the Panthers. They won a good game last week. I don't know why I'm blanking on who they played, but I know they won.
The Vikings and Jaren Hall.
That's right. The Packers were my biggest pick in my pool this week. Most value, and I know you had them as a standalone, Pat. And I just told you I don't think the Vikings are very good. So it's not the most impressive that the Packers won. And then we've got that, they just played in primetime. Everybody saw them play in primetime. Now's the time to hop on. Let's go to the other side with the Chicago team that's just been rolling, playing fantastic defense. The Packers have everything to play for. The Bears have nothing to not only play for, but they've got nothing to lose. Their draft pick is solidified. It's the Panthers' pick. So they have every reason to go out and play spoiler for these Packers, and I think they're going to do so. So +3 Bears, don't want to pair it with anything else. Let's stick with the standalone. One straight pick for you for the final pick of the Week 18 regular season NFL. Here we go, Bears +3.
I'm waiting for you to say 3-0, Cody.
I didn't go last week, and I got to 2-1. After I've been saying it for a month and going 1-2. So I'm off 3-0. Let bygones be bygones. Let it stand. We'll see what happens after this week.
Cody won't say 3-0, but I'll say this here. We've got 3 picks this week, 3 picks for wildcard weekend, 3 picks for divisional weekend, and then we haven't gotten there yet, but if we're going to take 3 picks for both conference championship and Super Bowl, which would have to include some props. If we don't, you've got 3 between the conference championship and Super Bowl. So we've got at least 12 more picks here, right? My math is mathing. We got 12 Sounds more fine. Picks. I'm 23 and 28. I'm 23 and 28 here. I guarantee I'm finishing above 500. That's my guarantee for you. That with 51 picks in the books and 12 picks left to go, that is 63. I'm doing quick math here. I am guaranteeing that I finish at worst 32 and 31.
Let's go, Pat. I love it. I love it. I feel like you've been trending up. I feel like over the past 5 weeks that you've done really well, and it's really just a 2 week or 3 week stretch where you did really well, but it feels like for 5 weeks now you've been knocking at the door, and last week you easily should have been 2-1. So I love the energy.
I had a 1-8 stretch in 3 weeks that basically derailed my chances of finishing above 500 for the regular season. But
yeah, hey. Yeah, because you got back to 500 and then that 1-8 stretch came. But then you had a stretch where you were, I think, 7-3 after that. So or something like that doesn't even make sense. 10 picks, whatever. Fuck.
I think I was six.
Fuck math.
How about the great Bam Boyle calling his shot? I love it, Patty B.
The great Bam Boyle.
I love
That's
it.
That's so good.
He's good.
Cody, I got to be honest. I'm a little jealous of the Bears pick. There was a bunch of picks on this slate that I really wanted to make. I really wanted to take the Bears. Couldn't bring myself to do it. I've just been burned by betting against the Packers a few times this year, and I have a bad taste in my mouth where, you know, I shit on Jordan Love, and occasionally I'm right. And then occasionally he looks like Aaron Rodgers, and it's like, God damn it, what happened? He's so good. I can't bet against him again. So I got scared off of that one. And I also, and sorry to you, Pat, I desperately wanted to take the Panthers +4.5 here. You talked about having nothing to lose. The Panthers have nothing to lose here. And like Bryce Young has to just try to show out, put out his best performance and do something here. And this whole team, they're playing for their life in the NFL at this point. That's the type of team where you're looking at guys who are like, am I going to be in the league? I'm on the worst team in the league. Maybe I'm not even playing that much for the worst team in the league. I might not be in the league, right? So like the Panthers, you would think, are going to come out hot. They don't even have a draft pick to worry about right now. I thought about teasing up the Panthers to +10.5. I just couldn't do it. I also think there's something about Baker Mayfield, about as soon as people start giving him the credit, it starts to come down to earth a little bit. and he's been getting some credit lately, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. The Panthers, I couldn't do it. The Saints, I couldn't do it. The Jaguars, I couldn't do it. The Bears, I couldn't do it. All picks I wanted to make, and I just could not bring myself to it.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident in that Bucs game because you know that Todd Bowles and the Bucs defense is going to get pressure on the quarterback, and this year under pressure, I think I saw a number. Bryce Young is statistically he's been one of the worst quarterbacks in the last 5 years when pressured, when blitzed. He's been an atrocious quarterback this year. Yeah, you can talk about the pressure and what the Bucs, you know, may or may not fall short offensively. I don't think Carolina can move the football.
I just can't wait to take Sammy D to the bank this week.
Love Sammy D. You got to get a Sammy D fat head and like put it in your picture there.
That mug is not great either. Like big ass head, the ginger hair. You know, it's just not. You know, he's a cool guy and all, but it's not like his fat head would look great.
He would look good on at least underneath that scary monster guy you got over your right shoulder.
My man, Dr. Doom, the future of the MCU, because Jonathan Majors majorly fumbled the bag. You guys don't MCU like that, so it doesn't matter to you.
I NFL, I MLB,
NHL,
little NHL,
Little EPL on Saturday mornings if you're bored.
Yeah, it depends on who I'm around, if drinks are flowing. Yeah, all that jazz.
All right, gentlemen, this has been a wonderful season. No matter how we end up here, Cody and I at 28-22-1. Pat mentioned 23-28. Mark Shinlugan, 25-26. Actually, Mark sent his picks in, so let me just read those out for good measure, and then we'll say goodbye.
Here you go. This is going to take Shinlugan, another 20 minutes.
Shock the world. Mark Shinlugan shocked the world only using 5 legs on his 3 picks this week. He has the Texans money line, which I guess is close enough. It's -120. Let me check that because I'm going to call him out. Nope, that's fair enough. Give him -120 on the Texans money line. We get the Bucks money line and Jaguars +3.5 as his second pick at -115 and the Saints money line and Cowboys -2.5. Makes me feel so much better about staying away from the Jags and the Saints that Mark's on their side. So I feel good about that.
Any team that needs to win, Mark's taking them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, I do feel bad for throwing strays at Mark all the time, but it's low hanging fruit. It can't help him.
They're not strays if you're here to defend yourself.
There you go.
That's true.
It's without fail every Sunday at 4:15 or at 7:30 in the group chat. I can't believe this, bro. Upsets, double digit upsets happen almost every week in the NFL. I can't believe it.
Oh man. Oh God, Mark, we love you. We miss you on the pod. Hopefully, we'll have you on for some playoff action. I don't know what you're gonna do on like conference championship week when there's only 4 games to pick from, but we'll figure it out. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. For Mark Shinlugan, for Cody O'Connor, for Pat Boyle, I'm Pete Kennedy. That's been the regular season picks here on Subway Sports Talk. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review on your podcast app. Follow on the social media at Subway Sports Talk. Been cooking on the Instagram and the TikTok and the Twitter machines and whatnot. So having some fun with that. And let's go Knicks. My God, fun time to be a Knicks fan. They're about to go on a run, as Pat Boyle said, orange and blue skies as the Knicks get some home games coming up in the near future. So excited about that as well. We'll talk to you next week and have a great weekend, everybody. I'll be on the slopes skiing, enjoying that snow while you guys are all cold home in the Northeast. I'll be out there shredding it up. Can't wait. Talk to you soon.